Hello, this is Tony Brew Ministries welcoming you for the teaching of God's Word. Mark chapter 2, our session titled this time, Jesus Confronts Religious Leaders. Several events happen in Mark chapter 2, which is the normal for St. Mark. Mark is a busy guy and reports Jesus as a busy servant of God. In Mark chapter 2, we have several events. Jesus confronts error and legalism with authority. He is the one who has all authority. In fact, he says, "All authority in heaven and in earth is given unto me." Our golden text is Mark chapter 2, verse 28. The Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Whether it's a Sabbath day, whether it's church, whether it's things you're doing, Jesus is Lord of all. The first part of Mark chapter 2 has a situation about a paralyzed man who is brought to Jesus. This is about healing and forgiveness. And again, he entered into Capernaum. Capernaum is a capital base for his ministry. He enters into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. A glad tiding that we could tell people that Jesus is in the house. It's all worth getting excited about. Jesus is in the house. Straightway, there's that immediately word again. Many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. The exciting atmosphere is created for the teaching and preaching of God's word and the miracles that resulted when he got together with people and when people came to him. They came to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. They come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy. This was a paralyzed man which was born of four. He had four people that had to carry this man. Now you know that if four men were to carry a paralyzed man, they had to have faith to believe, expectancy, to believe that something would happen when he got where Jesus was. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. They say that, just to play on words, the press, quote unquote, still keeps people away from God. The press, as we would use in our day, the liberal going to hell media, sending our nation further and further into destruction and depravity. The press still keeps people away from Jesus, just like it did in his day. Of course, the press we're talking about there is the crowd. They could not come near where he was because of the crowd. So they uncover the roof. It's up on the roof. And it's not up on the housetop, click, 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 with old Saint Nick. It's up on the housetop, boom, bam, boom. You can imagine them going up there, uncovering the roof where Jesus was so they could let this man down. When they had broken the roof up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Trapeze, whew, coming down right through the ceiling. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Jesus saw their faith. Well, we know that the four men who carried the paralyzed man had faith. But you know the paralyzed man had faith too. Would you not have to have faith if you were going to let people carry you up on the roof so you could be let down in the place where Jesus was? You could not help yourself. You could not move. You couldn't do anything for yourself. And you had to have faith in order to be able to let these people carry you up where Jesus was right there in front of him to be let down into the room where he was. This was a drastic measure to get something done. Sometimes we let things hinder us so easily. And just because something doesn't happen right away and we have a little problem, the car may break down or bad weather comes. And I know there are things that we can't do, but it's so easily now for us to be dissuaded and put off and kept away from our miracle. This guy was not kept away from his miracle. There were certain of the scribes sitting there, and they reasoned in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies?" Jesus had told him, when he saw the sick man, he didn't say, "Son, you're healed." He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." That's the most important thing. The sin question has to be answered. And Jesus answered that first. Your sins are forgiven you. "Oh, you're speaking blasphemy," the scribes and Pharisees said. "Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk'? Which is easier to say? Is it a big problem to say either way, 'Rise and be healed,' or 'Your sins be forgiven'? Which is the easiest to say?" Well, in our way of thinking, it would seem like it would be harder to say your sins are forgiven you than it is to say you're healed, rise up and walk. Well, Jesus, one is just as easy as the other. Your sins are forgiven you. He took care of the big thing first. We worry about being healed. But if you're born again, if you have faith to be born again, you've already had faith to do the biggest thing. And the rest, as it were, is a piece of cake. I know it's important to us. If we have physical maladies and disabilities, it seems like problems are insurmountable sometimes. But the biggest question has already been settled. And whether you really feel better in your body or not, most of all, you feel better in your soul because Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And He'll take care of the body too. "That ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion. We've never seen anything like this." You know the crowd before? You couldn't get through. You couldn't get to Jesus. But somehow, all of a sudden, when he said to this man, "Rise up and walk," he made a way. He made a way out of Dodge, didn't he? He cleared the way. And all of a sudden, he could get through. So, what about eating and fasting? This is next on the agenda in chapter 2. Jesus teaches a multitude by the seaside. And then, he calls Levi, whom we know as Matthew, the tax collector, to be his disciple. Levi, Matthew, hears the call of Jesus. "Come, follow me." He rises up and leaves everything and follows the Lord. It's an urgency about following Christ. When he calls you, you can't say, "Well, you know, I got to figure out how much money I'm going to lose. Got to think about my family, my mom and daddy, and how they'll feel about it, and my wife, how she's going to feel about it." No. He arose immediately, and he followed Christ. It came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, Matthew was excited about being saved. He made a feast for the Lord, and they were eating. Many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, and there were many, and they followed him. So this commotion was going on. This party, if you will, party doesn't have to be evil and drunkenness. A party can be a good thing. You can have a Holy Ghost party. We can have a good party for the Lord. When the scribes and Pharisees, here they are again, those religious leaders, they're always around. They saw him eat with publicans and sinners. They said unto his disciples, "How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" What in the world is he doing eating and drinking, these bunch of publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." If you're sick, you need a doctor. If you're well, you don't need a doctor. "Now I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." What are you doing being around these sinners? Well, they're the ones who need to repent. They're the ones who need to get right with God. But actually, the religious crowd, they need to get right with God too. Jesus was approached by those who wanted to know why the disciples of John the Baptist and other Pharisees fasted, but his did not. And Jesus answered their question with one of his own. Can you expect the children of the bride chamber to fast while the bridegroom is with them? Insinuating that this would be kind of strange, would it not? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will be expected to fast in those days. He also takes the opportunity to teach about trying to put a new piece of cloth on an old garment and putting new wine into old bottles. And the lesson objective here is we should not worry about a strip of cloth or a little bit of wine. These little tickly things that people get in the way, and they always have these questions that come up, and the evil one tries to bring these questions up to keep from people getting saved and getting right with God. Be sure that the old garment is changed to new, and the old bottles are made new. The new garment doesn't need a patch, and the new bottles can handle the new wine. You don't need the old wine, you need the new wine. New wine that makes you feel fine all the time. What about the Sabbath day? We started off by using a verse talking about that. It came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. They were hungry. They wanted something to eat. So they began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. The Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? It's always trying to find fault with something that somebody's doing, and it may break not only the commandment that he gave us, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, but they had all their commandments too, and they were meticulous about being sure that people kept the letter of the law, not the Lord, but the letter of their law. And he, Jesus, said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them with him? Have you read about this story? They had to be familiar with it. These scribes and Pharisees, they claimed to know all about the Bible, you know. And Jesus said, You've read this, surely I know you have. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. If man had been made for the Sabbath, then that would put the Sabbath day above everything. And man would have to bow to the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day would rule over everything. The Sabbath was made for man. It was made because we needed a day of rest and relaxation and be able to worship God. And God, the seventh day, which was a Jewish Sabbath, and it is a Jewish Sabbath, the seventh day, God rested on the seventh day from all the works and the labors of his hands and the works that he had made. All the creation God created in 6 days, and he rested the seventh day, and he blessed and sanctified the seventh day, and it is the Sabbath. That is what the Sabbath day is all about. And the Sabbath was made for man. God rested on that day, and he wanted us to have 1 day in seven to be able to come aside. And now, of course, the day of the Lord is Sunday, but the principle is still there. We're not bound by the old law anymore, but the principle is still there that God wants us to have this 1 day in that New Testament church Sunday. Paul, the first day of the week, the saints got together and they praised and worshiped and they took up offerings, and the disciples were hid and met together for fear of the Jews, and they worship God on Sunday, and we see it all throughout the Bible in the New Testament, the New Covenant. But the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. He's Lord of the Sabbath day. He's Lord of every day. Chapter 3, we'll get our foot in the door. Jesus enters the synagogue, and this is on the Sabbath day. He encounters a man with a withered hand. So now the religious crowd watches him to see if he will heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. They wanted to see if he would heal this man, and then of course they could be able to accuse him by doing something on the Sabbath day that they thought was wrong. He puts the ball in their court. Is it right to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? In essence, he is asking them, what do you think I should do about this situation? Well, they said nothing. That's the way it usually happens when the sacred cow religion is challenged and religious leaders don't have anything to say when they're confronted with the truth. Jesus heals a man and lets him go, and instead of being glad, they got mad about it. They cared more about their sacred cow Sabbath day religion than about the salvation of a sinner or the healing of a sick person. Isn't it amazing? Same thing now. We care more about our rules and regulations than we do about someone being set free by the power of God. So, Jesus confronts religious leaders. It happens all the time, even in the day that we live in. And the same authority that Jesus had over the evil powers, the devil was actually using this religious crowd to try to come against our Lord and to tempt him. And the same authority that he has is the same authority that we have. We have no authority of our own. If we operate in authority, it's the authority of Jesus Christ. That's the only authority that we have, and that's the only authority that we need. Heavenly Father, thank you for Mark chapter 2. Thank you for all of the Word of God. I pray you bless your people today. Help us, Lord, not to get caught up in this sacred cow man-made religion. And help us to walk in the truth. Help many people to be born again, healed, and blessed today. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus confronts religious leaders has been a production of Tony Broome Ministries.